Turn to the book of Luke, and in Luke chapter 12 and verse 32. Luke chapter 12 and verse 32. Luke chapter 12 and verse 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. If he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Now, Father, thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for all that you've given, and thank you for the mercy that you've showed us, and thank you for the message that we've heard and that we're about to hear. Lord, just pray you'd use the Word of God in our hearts, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, very familiar passages of Scripture and everything we know about it, and a lot of this goes into the picture of what we would talk about with the Laodicean church, this church that everybody looks at as an end times church. And what is the big thing about this end times thing? It's people begin to scoff at the coming of the Lord, don't they? All right? Last days there'll come what? Scoffers who say what? Where is the promise of his coming? Right? Where is the promise of his coming? But he tells us, in verse 32, he starts out and he says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." You know, we ought to not just gloss over that. We ought to understand that God desires to give us these things that he's promised. You ever thought about that? God desires to give them more than we desire to have them. It's your Father's good pleasure. Don't be afraid. Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. This kingdom that we're to have a part of, this kingdom that we're to reign with. Remember at the end of it, "He that overcometh will I give to sit down with me at my throne, even as I overcame and then sit down at my Father's throne." That picture that we have there. God's desire is to give us a kingdom. And I think we miss that sometimes. We look at it as, "Boy, I've got to work hard and I've got to labor and I've got to do all this stuff so I can get this and everything." But really, no. The labor and the things that we do are the work of God through us so that he can give us that which he wants to give us. It's his good pleasure. It's not a begrudging thing with God. We almost act like somehow God's begrudging us and he wants us to do all this work, and if we finally do all this work, then we'll get something for it. No, it's not quite the way it is. It's his good pleasure. The blessings of God, all of the things that we talk about, God wants to give them more than we want to receive them. I wish we'd just believe that. Make a big difference. And then he says, "Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupted. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. There's the picture there. He's telling them, he said, hey, don't worry about what you've got down here. Sell things. Give alms. Be a blessing to others. You're not going to lose. You're not going to lose out. He's already told us not to take any thought for the things we should eat or the things we should drink. We looked at the passage we were talking about, the question I asked earlier. The body's more than the life is more than meat, and the body's more than raiment. Consider the ravens, they neither sow nor reap, which neither has storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you with taking thought can add to a stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow, they toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Then he says, fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He says, sell what you have. Go out and sell something. Give alms. Try to help somebody else. Be a blessing. Don't realize that you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to hoard. You don't have to do all that type of stuff. You know, take care of your family, but and all the stuff that you're supposed to do. But ultimately, God's the one that's going to do the taking care of. Lay up treasure in heaven. Provide bags that don't wax not old. You know, have you ever had any money in your pocket? And you had money in your pocket, and all of a sudden, you didn't have any money in your pocket. All you had was a hole. Anybody ever been there? Spiritually, we don't have to worry about that. If we put that up the way we're supposed to. You know, I was with the grandkids yesterday, and I took them around, and we drove up to the feed store, and then Sister Denise forgot her, she was at that old-fashioned day, and she forgot her chair, so I had to go all the way home and get her chair and drive it back up there and take the grandkids up there. And we were up there, and I was showing them all the azaleas and different colors of azaleas that were out and everything. They were spotting the azaleas. And then I got to the house, and I showed them the difference between an azalea and a camellia and all that stuff. They were looking at all of that, and they were, oh, how pretty it is. And it is pretty. And we see the beauty that God has all around. And we worry about things that, I mean, there's none of us that could produce what God's produced. Everything that God does, we talked about the Lord and how God created it and God made all these things. We were talking about all that yesterday as I was driving them up there. And it's just an amazing thing what we see there. So we don't have to be worried. We don't have to be afraid. We can give. We can be a blessing. This is who we are. And we ought to be able to understand that. And the amazing thing is, you know, we look at this what we're doing and the things that we've done and the mailers and all the things that we've different done, the things, the efforts at the fair and everything like that. All of that has eternal value. That's why we ought to put as much into it as we can. We talk about praying for these people that get these mailers and get the gospel in the mail. We talk about praying for them. Why not get the most out of it? Let me ask you a question. We have somebody, we say, hey, we need to send out mailers. So we need people to give, right? And so open up the wallet, and boy, just say, hey, I'm in, preacher. And put the money down, right? And put the money down. There you are. You've put your money in. And that's where it ends, right there. I'm just being honest with you. Alright? Somebody puts in a dollar, right? Somebody else says, hey, preacher, I can do better than that. I can do better than that. And this is a good illustration because I very rarely have any money in my wallet. But I got money in my wallet right now so I can use it as an illustration. And somebody comes out there and they pull out, boy, $20. Right? And then somebody else comes and throws down 50, or somebody throws down 100, or whatever the case may be. That's 20 times more. I gave 20 times more than that person gave. But let me ask you a question. Let me ask you an absolute honest question. The one that could actually only afford to give a dollar, and I'm talking about people, I'm talking about people giving within their means, right? I'm talking about people saying, well, you know, I've got all my obligations taken care of, and now I want to give this to the Lord. I want to do that. So they say, so just using the mailers as an example, using that as an example, and you have the person that gave 20 times more and the person that gave just a dollar. You remember the story about the widow's mite, right? So it's proportional, isn't it? You know, are you giving of your lack, or are you giving beyond yourself, or are you giving of your abundance? Which is more in that respect? But let's put it on a different plane. Let's look at somebody puts out a dollar, and somebody puts out $20, and somebody puts out $100, and somebody puts out $1,000. And the man that puts out the 1,000, and the man that puts out the 100, and the man that puts out the 20, they give their money, go their way, and that's it. But the man who puts out the 1, or the woman who puts out the 1, or the boy, or the girl, or whatever it may be, puts out the $1. And then, but they have a broken heart, and they want to see souls saved. And every day they're on their knees praying. Which one has the better return on their investment? Based on what you know of Scripture, which one would get the greater return? The man that gave what little he could and prayed fervently. Because the Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, doesn't it? Makes a bigger impact, brings a bigger return. Something to think about. As we look at these mailers and everything. And I hope you'll give, and I hope you'll do that, and I hope we'll be able to put out a bunch more things in the mail. And, you know, maybe we can make this a regular thing and do it even more than we have been. And that'd be a wonderful thing. I mean, we might just keep people getting stuff in the mail. They might just say, well, I might as well go see about this church. I keep getting stuff in the mail from them. I might as well go check them out. You know, who knows what God may do with it. But the most important thing is when we do these things, we ought to have fervent prayer. We ought to give of ourselves, and we can give, and we need to understand that we're talking about eternal treasure here. We're talking about things that last forever, and you know we've talked a lot about that this morning. And then in verse 35, he says, "Let your lights be girded about; let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning. And ye yourselves, like unto men that wait for the Lord when He will return from the wedding, that when He cometh and knocketh, they may open unto Him immediately." Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when He cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that He shall gird Himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if He come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. Now the picture here, obviously, is waiting for the coming of our Lord. That's the picture. That's the understanding. But let's put it on a more practical basis. you and I, does anybody here know the day or the hour when the Son of Man's coming? We don't know that, do we? And so since we don't know that, we're to be ready. Now, I gave you an illustration of people giving, like for our mailers and the things that we do, or giving for something, and the difference, and we all agreed that the person who may have given least financially, because that's all they could do, right? But watered it with prayer and had a broken heart for the lost and prayed for those folks and cared about their souls, that person has a better return in heaven. We all agree with that, right? Don't we? All right, let me give you another idea. The idea of somebody who's watching. You know, when the Lord comes, He says that we, our loins should be girded about, and let your loins be girded about, and your lights be burning. In other words, that means be clothed and ready to go to work. If you're still, you know, when you get up in the morning and you don't have your clothes on and you're stumbling around in the dark, you're not ready to go to work, are you? You're not ready to receive company, are you? All right? So let your loins be girded about and your lights be burning. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. This morning we looked at that church at Laodicea, and the last thing that the Lord Jesus said to them was what? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open unto me, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. And here it says, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. And there's that picture again, isn't it? But let me submit to you. Let me ask you the question. Who is most likely to be ready for the coming of the Lord? If the Lord were to come in our day and age, if he comes during our lifetimes, if, for example, here it is 2021, and we get around to 2025, if the Lord tarries, and all of a sudden on January 1st, just for throwing out things, I'm not setting a date, by the way. Don't get confused here, but I'm just saying, just for argument's sake, if the Lord were to come back January 1st, 2025, who would be most likely to be ready for his coming among those that are living? Those that hear him and hear his voice and listen to his voice on a daily basis, or those who don't? You see, that's why he warns them. If he said, be ye ready therefore also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour which when ye think not. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even unto all? And the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. He said, of a truth, I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But and if that servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink and be drunk, and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him asunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did not commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. And so there's the picture that we see there. We see a servant that's ready. He's sitting there waiting. He's looking. He's talking. He's communicating back and forth. But they don't say, well, he's not coming back anytime soon. So I'm just going to relax, do about my own thing, and I'm going to do what I want to do and take care of myself. And I'll just, you know, it'll all work out and everything. I know he's coming someday, but I don't got to be worried about when he's coming. I don't have to be paying attention. I don't have to do that. Which one is it? We ought to be the former, not the latter. We ought to be the one that is ready, the one that is communicating, that's always looking. There's the picture that we have. This is what we need to be as Christians. You know, in Revelation, he said, he was talking to the churches, he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. I'm knocking now. Well, if we'll hear him knocking now, we'll hear him knocking later. When the time comes, if we're there, we'll be ready. If we ain't listening for the knock now, if we're not listening to him now, not very likely we'll be ready, is it, when the time comes? We talk about being ready for a lot of different things, being ready to die. Talk to people all the time. We're trying to witness somebody. Are you ready to die? Are you at peace with God? But the real question is, are you ready to meet the Lord today? Are you ready to meet God right now? You know what happens, that Laodicean church, we look at that church as being a church of apostasy, don't we? A church where they've gone away and they're self-sufficient. They don't need the Lord and everything. And we talked about that this morning. But we see that picture. And notice as we go down and we read further down, he's talking about a people that aren't ready and that eventually they're down to the point where they're only Christian and they're Christian in name only. They're cut and sunder and appointed their portion with who? They're appointed the portion with the unbelievers. That means they're just playing church, isn't it? That means they've gone to the point to where now as they follow on down, the people aren't saved. People are profess salvation, but not genuinely saved. All the different cliches and things we use about playing church and Sunday Christians and all that type of stuff and all the different things, this is the embodiment of that. What should we be? I don't know about you, but I kind of like to be ready. I like to be ready to meet the Lord. But you won't be ready if when he knocks at your heart's door today, when the preaching of the word goes and God speaks to your heart, Spirit of God speaks to your heart, and you refuse to respond. If he's doing that, if you read your Bible and he speaks to your heart and you refuse to respond, and you keep pushing it away and ignoring it and everything like that, you're not going to be what's considered ready. You're not going to be the one that gets the greatest return on their salvation. And I mean, we can spend a lot of time talking about a lot of different analogies, but there's the picture. You know, we spend a lot of time lamenting about, oh, we're in the Laodicean church age. People ask me, are we in the... I've told you all the time, people ask me all the time, preacher, is it the last days? Do you believe we're in the last days? Do you believe we're in the Laodicean church age? But the more important question is, are you ready to meet the Lord today? That's always been the question, hasn't it, throughout history? Are you ready? Be ye ready for the Son of Man. Be therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh in an hour when ye think not. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll close out the services today. Father, thank you for the Word of God, and I pray you bless each one with understanding. Lord, work in our hearts. Let us see our needs. Lord, we just thank you for your love and your kindness and your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.